Welcome back to session of the fall 2013 study group. So I was told that we have in the study group finished first 12 chapters of Bhagavad Gita. So the charge that I was given was to summarize as much of what we have studied as we can. It takes people a lifetime to study Bhagavad Gita. So when it comes to summarizing Bhagavad Gita, to summarize the summary takes forever. But we'll touch on some aspect of what Bhagavad Gita has taught us from chapter to chapter to chapter. So the three major scriptures that form the Vedantic philosophy of the Sanatana Dharma. They're called Prasthana Trayi. Prasthana, to take off on the basis of these three texts, to dwell into what is Sanatana Dharma. And of those three texts of Sanatana Dharma, the first are the Vedas, Veda Anta, the end of Vedas, from which we have studied one or two or three Upanishads, which are the knowledge portion of the Vedas, the end portion of the Vedas, what we normally hear and address as Vedanta, Veda Anta, the end of Vedas, being the knowledge portion. The second text is Brahma Sutras. Brahma Sutras is an extremely difficult and very advanced text that is not taught. Even to the brahmacharis who take the 2.5 year course in Mumbai, they study it later after graduating. So that's definitely beyond our scope. And third is Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is nothing but the same teachings of Vedanta, Upanishads, Vedas, brought to us in a lot more simplified, lot more understandable. There's so many different ways in which we express it, and so many different ways in which we have developed the initial understanding of what that is. And therefore, a text like Bhagavad Gita takes us more closer to the exact meaning and purpose of that self-realization. So Bhagavad Gita will teach us how to be self-realized. Means how to comprehend our real nature. And that real nature is not this body, this mind, this intellect, this ego, but one that propels them into action. So it is that entity that propels the individual BMI and ego as well as the collective BMI and ego into action. That is your real nature. How and why is what we are going to learn, or what we have learned in at least first 12 chapters. So that is the Bhagavad Gita. Now Bhagavad Gita, just from historical standpoint, there are four pillars of Sanatana Dharma: Shruti, Smriti, Itihasa and Purana. Shruti is what the rishis in their highest meditative state intuitively heard and saw as the Lord's word and transmitted it to all of us through Guru Shishya Parampara. That is the word of the Lord, and that is called Shruti, that which was heard. And therefore, in Sanatana Dharma, in Vedas, nobody claims authority in terms of authorship of any particular Upanishads. Compilation credit is taken sometimes, but not authorship, because it's Lord's word. Or rather, Shruti. Smriti is what you have heard as Shruti And when you transmit that from person to person to person on the basis of the memory that you have developed of that truth, it's called Smriti. Itihasa is the historical aspect of these events. And Purana is story format of the same facts to pass it on to the masses, the same truth in the simplest possible form. So of this four pillars of Sanatana Dharma, Bhagavad Gita normally is known as Itihasa because it is part of Mahabharata. Bhagavad Gita is part of the great epic Mahabharata. It's the longest epic in the history of the world, 100,000 verses. And it's dated, depending on the scholar's view, it's dated as far back as 9800 BC to 2500 BC. Wherever, it's immaterial to us. So, Bhagavad Gita is part of Itihasa, the historical book of Mahabharata. However, it is also known as Smriti because it is heard by Arjuna and then it's passed on by various rishis. But it is also known as Shruti because it's Lord's word. The Lord himself imparts that education through Arjuna to each one of us. So it has this distinction of being all three, Shruti, Smriti, and Itihas. That's the beautiful part. So now, we are studying this Bhagavad Gita. It has 18 chapters, 701 verses. And different sages at different point in time have envisioned this text in sort of different ways in terms of how to analyze and teach it to the masses. There was a great saint called Madhusudan Saraswati, somewhere in 14th or 15th century. He envisioned this text as a division into three, from first to sixth chapter. He called it karma. From seventh to 12th chapter, he identified that section as bhakti. And then from 13th to 18th, Madhusudan Saraswati ji identified it as jnana. So this was one vision of how to study this text. Another great Swami, another great sage of yore, his name was Swami Anandagiri. He envisioned the study of this text into three divisions called, based on that great profound sentence from one of the Vedas called Tat Tvam Asi, that thou art. The three words, each called as Pada, P-A-D-A, Pada. So Tat Pada, Tvam Pada, Asi Pada. So these three words, of that, Tvam, you, was considered to be explained in chapter 1 through 6. So that is Tvam Pada. 7th through 12th was that Pada. Tvam essentially means us, each one of us, the individual identity. Tvam means that individual identity. Tat means that. We are always, anytime we mention of the Lord or we think of something and we want to connect to the Lord or think of the Lord, we look up. I don't know why. In every culture, that is the case, right? Say, oh Lord, why me? A lot of people get married and then say that. Why me? And what to do? You know? So that is why it is that, which means, implies, it is far away, that, right? Because we always say, this, and that. Implication being, that is farther away, this is close, that's why. So that is explained, that pada, tat pada, is explained from chapter 7th through 12th. according to Swami Anandagiriji. And from chapter 13th through 18th, the Asi Pada. Asi means is. Tat Tvam Asi. That thou art. That you are. That is not different than this. That is you. That's what this 18th chapter explains. According to Swami Anandagiriji, that is the way to analyze it for the ease of explanation. These are not exact divisions. These are sort of as though divisions. Another sage has divided this or envisioned this as divided into three sections based on another Mahavakya, another great sentence. Aham Brahmasmi. Aham Pada. Me. I. Brahman, that omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent, all-pervading reality. Asmi, am. I am that Brahman. So again, if you look at Bhagavad Gita from that standpoint, then aham is explained from 1st through 6th chapters. Brahman, nature of the Brahman, is explained from 7th through 12th, and then from 13th through 18th, the Asi, am, the sameness of the two is explained. Having assimilated all this, our Gurudev, Parampuja Swami Chinmayanandji Maharaj, simply said, Bhagavad Gita is art of man-making. If you look into that sentence and dwell on that sentence, art of man-making, you realize that all these different looking ways of analyzing are all part of that one sentence, art of man-making. Because essentially, what are we trying to do here? We are trying to make a man out of an ordinary human being. And man doesn't imply male gender. Because gender is always limited to physical aspect of life. It doesn't go beyond that. As soon as we move from the inert physical aspect of life called body and come to the emotional and intellectual aspect called mind and intellect, the gender aspect disappears. So whenever we are studying, for example, we are only dealing with the mental and intellectual aspect. And therefore, in the studies of the scriptures, there is no such division as male and female. It disappears totally. It's immaterial. So what we are trying to make out of somebody by imparting this study is to make a man out of that person. A man who can think on his or her own two feet. A human being that knows what is his or her exact nature, and therefore, in that context, would also know how to act and react with the world of names and forms. Because all our problems arise from that simple fact that we don't know who we really are. And therefore, when we deal with the world of names and forms in that confused state of mind, we get nothing but sorrow. Everywhere we turn, we eventually end up with sorrow and misery. Because we don't deal with the names and forms of this universe with proper understanding of who we are. So that's the first thing we need to find out. Who we are. And that is why Bhagavad Gita starts with that section first. Tvam. You. Who are you? Right? So that's what we have studied in first six chapters. Now, our Guruji, Pujya Tejavanandji Maharaj, he has a two-line verse which explains very beautifully why we study Bhagavad Gita. So I want to share that with you. I just recently came across it. Guruji says, Gita Pathertha Jignasa. The cause of study of Bhagavad Gita initially is curiosity. Which is true. Anything that we get into initially is because of the curiosity, isn't it? We want to know something. We are kind of curious. Why? You know. But the curiosity takes you from place, one place. I mean, the fact that some of us have migrated 10, 12,000 miles from our home country to this beautiful country is because of that initial curiosity. We want to go explore something that's unknown so far to us. Right? Because when you are young, there is an excitement. Going to Davis. Going away from mom. All young folks have that desire. So curiosity becomes the basis of every activity initially. There's a very nice sher in Urdu. It says, Hairaton ke silsile soze niha tak a gaye. Hairaton ke silsile soze niha tak a gaye. Hum to dil tak chahte the, tum to jahan tak a gaye. Sometimes that curiosity with which we start something, hairaton ke silsile, the series of curiosities, soze nihan tak aagaye, they became a deeply rooted hurt. Deeply rooted hurt and pain only comes from love. So the curiosity turns into love. And then it hurts. Because when you are in love, you don't want to be away from your lover. Right? Be it a child, be it a wife, be it a husband, be it a lover. You can't tolerate even for a moment being away from your lover. That hurts. Hairaton ke silsile soze niha tak a gaye. Because hum to dil tak chahte the. I was initially only interested in a little bit of emotional fun. Dil tak. Tum to jahan tak a gaye. You invaded the very soul, and occupied my entire being. What it actually means is what your relation should be with the Lord. That intense love and longing for the Lord must be there. There was a story, there was a sage called Bhagavan Ramakrishna in Bengal. Someone came to him, said, Lord, Bhagavan, I want to see the Lord. Have you seen the Lord?
Yes.
I have seen the Lord. Can you show me?
Yes,
I can show you. No problem. Come tomorrow morning. So the young man comes tomorrow morning. He says, okay, now show me the Lord. He says, okay, slow down. You're in a hurry. Slow down. I've not taken the bath, so let's go to the Ganges. Take a dip in the Ganges. Come back fresh, and then I'll take care of you. No problem. So they both went to Ganges to take bath. Both went into the water, yeah, deep water. And as soon as the young man started taking a dip by putting his head underwater, Bhagavan Ramakrishna held his head underwater. So powerfully, the guy could not raise his head, just frantically inside the water. Even for a moment, most of us have experienced that, how difficult that situation can be. The guy almost died, and then Bhagavan let go, and his head came back up. And he was so furious and so angry at Bhagavan Ramakrishna. Why did you do that to me? I could have died. What did you do that for? Bhagavan says, you please be quiet and tell me one thing. When you were underwater, what was the only thought in your mind? The guy says, of course. The only thought was, I want to live, I want to live, I want to live, I want to live. Ramakrishna says, when you have a thought that's that intense about the Lord, you will see the Lord. So you see the intensity of that love, That has to be there. If the Lord is on your menu of things to do, whenever time permits, it's not going to happen, okay? Because it cannot. He's not one of your line items that you have to take care of. If you can get engrossed in intense love of your children when they go to college for the first time, God, the parents cry. Because we have love for our children. It's more of an attachment, but it's love. If you can have that kind of love for the Lord, you will make it. And therefore, to understand the nature of that Lord, first you must understand what is your nature. And that's why we study Bhagavad Gita. So, first six chapters. So, Swamiji says, Gita Pathertha Jignasa. We always start study of Bhagavad Gita with curiosity. Tato Jnanam Bhavishyati. Out of that curiosity, knowledge takes place. Because curiosity slowly becomes serious and you want to study it more. And you want to understand what that is all about. And then what happens? Krutarthata hi jnanena. That knowledge brings you the sense of fulfillment of life. Tasmad, for that, Gitam patennaraha, for that, people study Bhagavad Gita. That's what Tejavananji says. So, for our sake, to make life easy, we'll take one of this so-called divisions, tat, tvam, asi, and we'll proceed with summarizing each chapter as to what the Bhagavad Gita teaches us. So the first six chapters teach us our real nature, Tvampada. Chapter 7 through 12 teach us the nature of the Brahman, the all-pervading Lord, the substratum of this universe, the rope, if you will. Do you remember? We all remember that example of rope and snake, right? So the Lord is that rope that makes it possible for us to see the snake. Snake was never there. Snake was never there. Now some of you may not have heard this story, so I'll very briefly share that with you. The dull light of the evening, one fellow was walking on a rural road, and at a distance on the way where he was heading, he saw a wiggly thing lying in the middle of the road. Looked like a snake. Stopped immediately in his tracks. He says, "Oh God, there's a black looking snake. If I go by there and if it decides to run and bite me, God, what's going to happen? I'll be poisoned. Then I'll lie down there and I'll cry and there'll be no help." And then his mind just took off in the fantasy and figured out what's going to happen, what's not going to happen. And he brought all the misery in mind that would befall him if that snake bit him. He was perspiring already, standing there, just with the thought. A wise man was passing by. He stopped. He says, "What's bothering you? Why are you shaking so much, standing in one place?" He says, that snake is there. I'm afraid of snake." So this wise man had light, flashlight. "It's a rope, my friend. It's not a snake." That's so nice. So somebody saw the snake in the rope that scared the daylight out of him or her and had all the fantasies of the problems that he or she would go through because of that entity, which is actually non-existent and is only seen because of the only existence, which is the rope. That rope is the Brahman, the all-pervading reality, which sometimes for us is seen as this world of names and forms of which we are afraid of, we are scared of. Because we have to deal with them. And because we don't know our real nature, and we don't know the real nature of them, creates all the apprehension and all the fear and all the sorrows. So that snake is only seen because the rope is there. If the rope wasn't there, you could not possibly see the snake. Similarly, because the Lord, all-pervading Lord is there, He manifests as these various things and beings of the Lord, of the bird. So every time you see the various things and beings of the Lord, of the bird, if you learn and establish your mind in seeing everything as the Lord Himself, then there is no problem. There is no fear. There is nothing that bothers you. You joyously deal with them. Now there is no problem. There is no fear. So, learn what is what and life becomes very easy. So, that Lord, that rope because of which we see the snake is the reality. That is explained in the chapter 7 through 12th and the last 6 chapters, 13th through 18th. The Lord explains to Arjuna and actually explains to all of us that that all-pervading reality, Tat, is nothing but Tvam, you are. Our problem starts because we deal with what we are as we appear, this individuality called the body. We have not moved beyond the body, let alone mind, intellect, ego and all that. We are stuck. We are seriously, almost permanently stuck with this idea that I am this body. And in the superficial spiritual activities that we do, we sometimes come away with this thinking that the Lord is in this body. It's another problem. So we first must learn who we are. Every dealing in this world must be based on who we are. Because once you know who you are, it's easy to deal with every situation in the world, right? Because if you are a big boss in the office and you come home with the same mindset, you would have a problem, guys. Guruji used to share this joke about this big guy, big shot, big vice president who used to shout at everybody in his office like a lion. So one day one of the subordinates went to him and says, "Sir, you shout and you roar like a lion in the office. Everybody is scared of you. When you go home, do you still act like a lion? Are you still a lion in the home?" And the guy says, "Yes, of course. When I go home, I am still a lion. But with one difference." "And what is that?" "The Mataji rides on me." The mother of the house rides on the lion. Okay, so being that lion has no value. So that identification you cannot bring to the home. Because these are not your identifications. These are different roles that we play. It's a role playing. Amitabh Bachchan plays so many different roles of so many different characters. He never identifies with any of them as himself. He's away. He's witness to each of these roles. So learn to be that witness. That is your identification. The witness, that witnesses each of this role playing in life based on your station in life, based on the situation in life, the place and time in life. All you are doing is playing a role. That is what we need to learn in first 6 chapters. So let's understand the first chapter. At the end of each chapter, the chapter ends with, I have to know what it ends with. Sorry about that. Okay, Om Tat Sat Iti श्रीमद् भगवद् गीतासु उपनिषत्सु ब्रह्म विद्यायां योगशास्त्रे श्री कृष्ण अर्जुन संवादे सो एंड सो योगो नाम सो एंड सो चैप्टर अध्यायः राइट So it says, so and so yoga nama. Every chapter has word yoga attached to it. Yoga word comes from the original root called yunja, which means to join. Join with whom? Join with the Lord. Which means that the first chapter is titled Arjuna Vishada Yoga. Vishada means sorrow, grief, unhappiness, despondency. How can be sorrow defined as? How can sorrow be defined as yoga? Because we have different concepts of what yoga is. A lot of people say, oh, I went to yoga today. What they mean is, I went to do some exercises. That's not yoga. That's very early preparation for getting to the point where you can start yoga. These are exercises to control and discipline your mind and body. So why is this first chapter called Arjuna Vishada Yoga? The yoga of grief of Arjuna. Because sorrow is sorrow and it brings you down every time unless you connect that sorrow to your goal. What is our goal? Be one with thee. Any sorrow that results in your resolve to connect yourself to that higher entity is called yoga. That is why the first chapter is called Arjuna Vishada Yoga. The despondency of Arjuna that resulted in yoga. Why did it result in yoga? Because smart as Arjuna was, he was a great warrior, one of the greatest in the world. Almost incomparable. He was intelligent, bright, brave. Being such a brilliant and brave guy, he understood after blabbering for the whole chapter and part of the second chapter too. He understood that all this blabbering aside, if I was going to find some solace for my sorrow, I have but one recourse, one single recourse, and that is to surrender to the Lord. Unless you surrender to the Lord, He can't be bothered. I mean, that brings these amazing ideas in most of our minds. Is, Lord is very partial. He wants you to cow down. No, that is not the case. If you go to a teacher, let's say you go to a music teacher, I want to learn piano. Have you learned any? So, yes. You have learned from whom? Mr. So-and-so. How many years? 4 years. Play. Ding, 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 two. Ding, 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 two. Some miss key is hit. The teacher says, how did that happen? Oh, that's how the teacher taught me. But I'm here to learn piano from you. So this poor new teacher first has to wipe your slate clean. Otherwise, you can't learn piano properly. And the hardest thing in life for a teacher to do is to wipe the slate clean. Because your ego resists wiping that stuff off at every moment. And therefore, unconditional, total, complete surrender to the Lord is required. So that your slate is clean. Now the Lord can write on it the right thing to enlighten you about who you are. And therefore, the first chapter is essentially the foundation of Bhagavad Gita. Surrender. Total, complete, unconditional surrender to the Lord so that you can take off with a very light existence. You can go anywhere the Lord points you to go. Because the old heavy load on your head is now gone. You know, in one of the old Gujarati poetries, it said, હું કરું હું કરું એ જ અજ્ઞાનતા, શકટનો ભાર જેમ શ્વાન તાણે. વન ધ ગ્રેટ સેજ પોએટ્સ ઓફ ગુજરાતી લિટરેચર સેડ, હું કરું હું કરું હું, આઈ એમ ધ ડુઅર, આઈ એમ ધ ડુઅર, આઈ 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 ધીસ, આઈ ધીસ ઇગો સ્મોલ, આઈ આઈ એમ ડુઈંગ ધીસ, આઈ એમ ડુઈંગ ધીસ. સો લોંગ એઝ ધેટ ઇગ્નોરન્સ ઇઝ ધેર, ઇટ ઇઝ લાઈક એ ડોગ, લિટલ ડોગ ઇઝ વોકિંગ અંડર એ બિગ બુલોક કાર્ટ વિથ હ્યુજ અમાઉન્ટ ઓફ લોડ બિંગ કેરીડ by the two bullocks in the front. The little dog is walking under that cart thinking, God, I am carrying so much load. you see how stupid it is that we think that we carry the load. No, we don't. Okay? So light up. That's the beauty. That is, so give up that notion that you do things because you don't. That is the total surrender.